Well, let's go ahead and pray after that. I get my head under control. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your great grace upon this church, upon everyone, Lord. You desire us to know you more, to learn more about your kingdom, about your ways, all the things that you have for us, Lord, that you've already set aside for us. So we thank you for that. We thank you for the wisdom, the anointing of the teacher, Lord, the anointing of hearers, Father, that you quicken each person to hear what is being said tonight. And we just thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to talk about believing and get into further into this, but believing is really critical in the scripture, and we're going to revisit a definition of believing. There were six definitions of it. It was to place reliance on full and joyful trust, to have a firm persuasion of approaching certainty, a state of being convinced, to trust and place full confidence in, to rest upon with faith, to expect or hope with confidence. So you see a theme here on the definitions of it, that it's something that you completely rely on, it's something that you're absolutely persuaded of, it's something that you have great confidence in. See, when you reach that point, now you're at the point of believing. You can believe it so much that you can begin to say it, you can begin to see it, which we're going to talk about tonight, that it just begins to become real to you. And so it's a process that we all go through. Sometimes we can see something and just believe it. Sometimes we have to work at it and get things out of the way that are causing us to miss that. Now, we're a three-part being. And Scripture says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. God has crafted you that way. And so he has done some things with each of us. And you know, we've talked a lot. The spirit is saved. The spirit is happy. The spirit's just on fire for God. Loves the word. Loves to be here at church. So your spirit is excited because you're here. The soul, on the other hand, you know, hey, sometimes we'd rather be at the movie or rather do this or rather do that. And so all the time, you know, you have a conflict. And so the soul is the one that we have to work on. See, God has given us. He didn't redeem your soul. So we have to really go to work on it. So the soul is where the heart is. And by the way, if you didn't get that series, but Pastor Mark taught on the heart, advise you to get it. It's very, very good and very detailed. And something you really need to spend time with going over and over, because the battle is in the heart. The heart is part of the soul. And so the more that we get to the point to where our soul and heart is lined up with our spirit, then everything becomes possible to us. See, then your body can be healed. Then your mind can be healed. Then prosperity can flow. Why? He says, beloved, I desire above all that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And so as you saturate your soul with the Word of God, now how you do that, you're actually making a change and bringing alignment into your whole system. And now when your spirit and your soul get lined up, oh boy, now things can happen. And so now you have no limits to you at all. So it's a very serious area that we have to look at. We're all handcrafted by the Master. God has done a splendid work in us. And so we're going to spend a little bit of time talking through that tonight and how that plays out. Psalm 139 verse 13 says, for you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. We're made in his image and likeness. We are a child of the King. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. We are his child. We are his masterpiece. We are the one that he loves. Amen? I mean, he crafted you with all the love that one could possibly do. The word fearfully means to be made in reverence and awe. So you weren't stamped out on an assembly line. You weren't an accident. You know, your parents may have thought, wow, they weren't expecting you, but God was expecting you. He already had plans for you. He already had thoughts for you. He already had a future for you. He already had dreams for you. And so you were crafted. You were made in reverence and awe, you know. And so he says, you were made in a manner to impress admiration and establishment. Astonishment. I always think of babies, little babies. You know, when the babies first find their hands, they don't know, they didn't even know they were there. And then they find them. And they're not sure what they are, but they look at them and they're thinking, wow, you know. Anybody ever seen that? I mean, that's a great sight. You know, it's just amazing. They're just discovering things every day. Well, God wants us discovering things every day about Him, about us, about how we relate to Him. He wants us to be just in a constant search of Him to discover what He has for us, to discover what He's already laid out for us. So you impressed in admiration and astonishment. Wonderfully means that you were distinguished and set apart. You were distinct. There may be somebody that looks like you in the world, but they're not like you. You are unique. God has put a stamp on you that is just so unique. And so all of us get together. If we all got together, we would be so different, but yet He just brings us all together and makes a body out of us, makes us to where we actually can function together. So he's in a manner to excite in wonder and surprise. You know, the scripture says that the angels look at us and they ask, what is it? What is it about these people that you're so mindful of them? Amen? That you just, He has you tattooed right there on His hand, on the palm of His hand. He's just constantly thinking about you. He is so mindful of us. And so He's got plans for us. And so He wants us to be excited and being in wonder. Now, He has given us characteristics. One of those is He has given us an imagination. Imagination doesn't get talked about very much because a lot of times when you look at the scriptures, it talks about vain imaginations. I don't have to explain what vain imaginations are. All of us know what that is. But He has given us an imagination to imagine what it's like to achieve what it is that He's laid out for us. To imagine what it's like to see people healed. To imagine what it's like to see people saved. To imagine what it's like to see the world just set on fire for God. I mean, He's given us the ability to think these things and imagine them. Ephesians 3:20 out of the NIV says, "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us." Albert Einstein says, logic will get you from A to B. Imagination will take you everywhere. See, when you get into the point of imagining what God is like, you know, when you ever read the scriptures and you see Jesus doing something, do you ever just let your mind just picture what that looked like? Boy, God, we can take off on that one because it will put an image in you that you will never forget. It'll change your life when you just begin to imagine what that was like. Now, the New King James uses the word think. Thinking is really the word that is used to conceive. It's to imagine and it's to exercise the mind. What is conceive? Well, conceive is something that has to do with conception. You're conceiving an idea. You're conceiving a thought. You're conceiving a goal. You're conceiving a business. You're doing something when you're conceiving on that. I think, you know, when you look in Genesis in the first chapter, it says that the Spirit of God was hovering over the earth. And that word hovering, one of the things that word means is He was incubating. Here was God planning, let there be light, and here was the Spirit of God incubating that. He was just working it, getting it going, man. I mean, you know, if you could see that computer going inside the Spirit of God, it was just humming. All the calculations ready to go, just waiting for God to just command. And so He was incubating this. This world came out of God's thought, and then His words were expressed. Amen. And so He wants us to catch hold of how He thinks and lay hold of just imagining how that, to conceive that, to exercise the mind. The Amplified says, infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, or dreams. God is infinite. He has absolutely no limits. I mean, we could all just serve up our biggest, boldest prayer, and we wouldn't even dim the lights in heaven. You know, it's like, no matter what you can think or imagine, He can way, way, way beyond that. Amen. And so He wants us coming up and thinking like He thinks, imagining like He imagines, speaking like He's speaking. He wants us to act like Him. Why? Because we're His child. I mean, your parents, I mean, you'd like your children to act like you most of the time, I think, right? You know? So, you know, but God is like, He just wants us to be like Him in every way imaginable. So He wants us to conceive things. See, a good prayer is to pray, Lord, let my imagination and my thoughts line up with Yours. Let my desires and my hopes and my dreams line up with what You have for me. So that's something that He will steer you if we're off, if we're praying like that. Amen? And so we don't want to waste time thinking of things that are not Him, but we want to line that up with what He has for us and say, okay, now do this. I have never gone to God where He said, well, that's just too big. You're thinking too big. Never. What? I've always heard, you need to think out here. And I have to go back to the closet a little while and kind of get a concept of what here is. Amen? And so He wants to do that with all of us and show us how to live at His level. Glory to God. Yeah. So He wants us in that place with Him. There's a science called neuroplasticity. And you can actually search that and you'll find all kinds of articles on this. But it's been in like the last 10 years, there's been a lot of study on the brain. And so what they've discovered over this time is there are neural pathways in your brain that basically are created by thoughts, experiences, and really have come to the conclusion is that a lot of it shapes how you think and how you see things, how you perceive things. And so in this process, they've injected new thoughts into people. And they've discovered that over time, there's additional pathways that can get cut that will replace the old pathways or overshadow the old pathways in there. So every time you learn something, a new pathway is created. And when you repeat that over and over again, it starts to become a dominant trait. That's fascinating. Isn't God smart? I mean, man, you know, He said in His Word that He would write His Word on your heart and on your mind. Amen? And so He's given you the ability to write the Word upon your mind and upon your heart and really make a change. See, if you get your mind lined up with what the Word says, boy, look out. Now you're thinking like He's thinking. Now you're lining up with what He's got. And so you do that by just going over it and just repetitively with the Word, and it's taking shape. Let's look at an example of this in Genesis 15. And this is a story of Abraham, or Abram at this time he was called. And we'll pick up in verse 1. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, don't be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. and he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Now, Abram was inside of his tent, and he was pouting. Anybody ever do that? You know? And he was really frustrated because he wanted a child, and alas, no child has shown up. And so he was really going over the fact that with God that, you know, if something doesn't happen here soon, then the servant is going to become the heir, and here we go, you know. And so he was complaining. But God said, come out here and look up at the stars. Now, how many of you have ever gone out in the country, away from all the lights, and looked up into the sky? Wow, it's amazing how many stars are up there. I mean, you know, you're in the city, you don't even notice it, but when you get out there, man, it's like everywhere. And so he brought him out here, and he challenged him to look on something that was infinite and get a concept here that you're not just believing for a child, you're believing for descendants, plural. Now, you know, every time I've done this before, I've gone outside, looked at the stars, partitioned off an area and said, okay, I'm gonna count them and see how many are up there. And you know, I'd get a section done and I'd look and I'd go, well, there's more back there I didn't see, so I go back there and count them. And I never got out of that one section. I was out there for an hour and I thought, well, okay, I get it. You know, you never run out of stars. The more you look, the more you see them. And so he was telling him that you're thinking limited. And I'm going to give you something to look at that's going to remind you of how many descendants you're going to have. And if you can count them, then there you are. That's how many descendants you're going to have. So how many times do the stars come out at night? Every night. So every night he was out there looking, thinking, descendants. Now, over time, his body changed. Amen? Over time, his wife's body changed. Because the Bible says that his body was as good as dead, so he couldn't have had a child if he even wanted to. And so, as he looked at this, that word and that vision and that looking at this and imagining this, what that would look like with all those descendants, began to change him. You know that he lived to be 175 years old and had several children. Several. That's pretty good. Yep. Starting at 100 with the first one, you know, that's pretty good. So, but because of that, because of his belief in that, that spawned all of us being here because it brought Jesus into the earth. The descendant. Amen. The seed. Amen. And so God used that vision of something infinite to really get him out of the box and stop thinking just one, but thinking many. See, God would like to do the same thing with us. We think like, well, our job's it, or this is it, or that's it. No, no, no. He's got a global vision. He's got no one being lost, everyone coming into the saving knowledge of God. Yeah, he thinks on a grand scale. And so he wants us coming up to his thoughts and going, okay, we could do this because he's with us on this. So this is what was happening with Abraham. Now later on, he renamed him the father of many nations, Abraham. Now what was that all about? Well, every time he heard that name, he heard the father of many nations. And every time he spoke that name, he heard the father of many nations. What was he doing? He was calling those things that be not as though they were. Amen? Amen. Okay. So, that's what the Lord wants us to do, is to dream, to envision, to look upon the infinite. I love the fact that we have such space technology now that you can see Mars, you can see Jupiter, you can see all these planets, you can see the Hubble thing go through all space and take all these. I mean, it's just amazing, the pictures that are out there, the different configurations that you see. All of them got God written all over them. Amen. And you know, it's this time when we look at those things and go, yeah, he knew those were out there all the time. Those didn't just recently pop up out there. He had them out there for us to find them. Amen. And just look and go, wow. You know, you're an amazing God. So you have to just look at those things and go, that is just amazing on that one. Now, we have some rights as children of God to do some things. We have the right to speak and to think the end result and expect it to come to pass. He has given us that. We're going to pick this up in Mark 11:23. Jesus was talking. He said, have faith in God, or have the faith of God. For surely I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. This is just an amazing statement to me. Whosoever, any whosoever's in here. Raise your hand if you're a whosoever. Commit or not commit. Okay. He said, if whoever says to this, and he's using the example of a mountain, but it could be anything. He says, if you do not doubt in your heart, but you believe that those things you say will be done, you will have whatever you say. So if I believe that what I say is a done deal, and I'm going to apply this to the Word of God, if I use the Word of God and I speak it forward, Jesus says, I will have whatever I say as long as I believe that. Yeah. I'm just waiting for that to hit. That means that, and again, I'm not going to get off into stuff, but that means that as long as I stay in the confines of what the Word is saying, and I'm sending it forward, and I'm believing that that's happening, and I've got that done, and I believed it, that it will come to pass. Amen. Amen. So that means that we have a right then to speak to things and cause change to happen. Amen. For the kingdom of God. Amen. So we have to look at this from the fact that He has given us, He's made us fearfully and wonderfully made, and He's given us the ability to impact nations, to impact our neighborhood, to impact our schools, to impact wherever we go. So we have that right. We also have the right to declare the name of Jesus and expect results. Glory to God. You know, we had songs about the name of Jesus, and sometimes we just get to where we think that that's just something we put on the end of a prayer. And that's not. It's a name that's above every name. And there's nothing in this universe that is superior to that name. See, when we use that name, it is all the force of heaven behind us. Glory to God. You know? And so when we use it and believe that we're using it right, everything that God has then all of a sudden starts moving in that direction. Now, in Mark 16, verse 17, it says, and these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will be by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So these are the demon realm, the physical realm, all the things that we see and don't see are subject to the name of Jesus. Amen. And so when we use that name, again, it's not the end of a prayer, it's not an abracadabra or anything like that. We're using it with the force of that God has put into it, that every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And so we have to glue that. Now, there was a, in Acts chapter 3, there was an example with Peter and the guy at the gate, beautiful, and Peter had raised him up. He was lame from his birth, I believe. And people were astonished and they were asking, what new deal is this? You know, and they were looking at Peter thinking, well, what did you just do? Like he did something. And Peter gave an explanation here. And he said in Acts 3:16, and his name through faith in his name has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So it's his name and it's faith in his name. It's believing that that name is powerful. If I just say that name and I don't have any belief in it at all, I'm just using it for something, then it just kind of just spins out there, does nothing. But if I believe that and I speak that name, now things start coming into alignment. Now things start moving, things start changing. So we as believers have the right to use that name and have faith in that name and speak that name forward and expect that to have results, expect that impact to happen. And so we have to always think he has made us for this purpose to move things out of the way, to get the devil off of people, to get people set free, to do all kinds of things to bring the kingdom of God to the earth. Amen. Amen? And so this is how we do that in using that name. We also are able, being children of God, to declare the word of God and expect the same results. I always think of Jesus' statement, these signs will you do and greater than these that you will do. It's the greater one that you know, I'm still working on, but you know it's coming. But he didn't just say that just to throw something out here to challenge us. He put that out there to think even bigger and have greater impact. So 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore we speak. So we have the same spirit of faith. Man, Jesus gave us his spirit of faith. We have that same spirit of faith. See, God didn't give us a sub faith. He didn't give us a little thing. We have that same spirit of faith, and we believe, and therefore we speak, and things happen. See, if I just believe and I don't do anything else, if I just sit here and think and I never speak, nothing really is going to happen. So the speaking part is critical to seeing the kingdom of God manifested in your life. And so we have to take the word, speak it, believe it, speak it forward, and expect the same results. Expect to see impact, expect results. You know, when people come up and you know, we pray for them, we're not hoping that they get healed. We're believing they get healed. Amen? See, when we're praying with the name of Jesus, we're expecting to see manifestation. Well, what if you don't see it right now? Well, it's not over yet. You know, it's still going on. Couldn't tell you how many times people have come back 2 weeks later and said, totally set free. Glory to God. That's God. But that's God. See, when you're praying, we're not hoping for something. We're believing that God is going to intervene and do something here. Amen? And so we believe and therefore we speak. And so you have to just line up what it is you believe with the Word of God and just speak it forward and let it go. Well, what if I don't see anything? Well, it takes time sometimes, okay? But you will see. When you lay hands on the sick, they do recover. May not see it right today, but recovery has begun.
That's right.
Amen? Amen. Amen. And so that's where you come in on a word and go, okay, I didn't see it happen right now, but it's happening. It's going. And sure enough, it does happen. So we declare the word of God and we expect the same results. Romans 4:17 says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. So God is one that calls those things that do not exist as though they did. See, he wants us to imitate him and be like him. And so since he calls those things that do not exist as though they did, then as a child of God, then I've got to pick up that and do the same thing. Well, what is calling? Calling is speaking. If I never open my mouth, I'm not calling you. I'm thinking of you, but I'm not calling you, okay? So I've got to open my mouth and speak forth that to call something that be not as though they were. Well, what is that? Well, somebody's not saved, okay. They're saved. You know, I just start thinking about them being saved and I start speaking over their life that they're going to be saved, that you know, people are coming across their path, that, you know, what's happening? Well, you may not see anything right away, but eventually God begins to move. Things start happening. People come into the kingdom of God, you know. And so you just begin to speak over them the will of God for their life. One, that they know him and have an intimate relationship with him. And you just begin there. So you have to call those things out that be not as though they were to start to see change. You have to take authority over the demonic realm and get them off of people so they can actually look and see what the will of the Lord is for their life. So we have to do things that seem to be unconventional to the world, but the Word of God says that they actually have results. Amen. Amen? And so we may not see it today, but eventually we will see it. So just spend a little bit of time on there's a heavenly process, and I've been talking about this some throughout this time. One is that you meditate on the Word. And boy, just doing that is something that makes a big difference. I never come out of a time when I'm meditating on the Word that I'm not changed by it. I mean, it changes my whole perception of things. I maybe feel down and feel depressed at the time. And then all of a sudden, you know, I just start thinking of the Word, and all the things, all that stuff just lifts. Amen? And so it's something that you always want to do when things just really come on you and you're just not up to your par, and all of a sudden now you're starting to think like God thinks. So meditating on the Word, it's also cutting images in your mind, it's training your mind, it's training your heart. You believe it in your heart. You grab a hold of it and believe it in your heart and get to the point to where you're fully confident of it. You visualize it in your heart. You begin to just dream about that. What does that look like? What does that take shape doing on that? And how does that interplay with me? You speak it out of your mouth. You know, it's good. One thing about a car, driving a car here, you can speak and holler at something and nobody knows what you're doing. So, you know, it's a great time to do it while you're driving. Call things that be not as though they were. But you just speak it out of your mouth. You expect the same results. This is biblical hope, expecting it to come to pass. You grab it to the point to where you know it. You know that you can see it at this point. And then you start acting on what God tells you to do, and then you receive the promise. Amen. That is the heavenly process is spelled out by Scripture, and that's what God wants us to seize upon and see great breakthroughs come, not only in our lives, but in everybody's life. Just see us impact Burleson, this whole area, for the Lord, and see things change Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your promises, Lord, that you said in your word that all things are possible to those who believe. And we just grab hold of that, Father, that we just begin to think your thoughts and begin to act like you and begin to talk like you and begin to learn from you and glean from you, Lord, that we could have greater impact upon the people around us. We thank you, Lord, that you've called us to be children of the Most High God, that you have extended love for us. And Lord, that your love never fails us, never leaves us, never forsakes us, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, that we're fearfully and wonderfully made in you, Lord. And we are the child of the King. We praise you and thank you, Lord, for it. We thank you for such a great salvation, Lord, that you pulled each of us out of the dregs and brought us into your kingdom. And we give you glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen.